turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I said the wrong one. Tonight, as we are celebrating this week, I say celebrating, obviously just kind of thinking and contemplating on what Jesus went through for each one of us, reminded of that. There are three places described in the New Testament in connection with the sufferings and death of Jesus. And I want to kind of walk us through each one of those places. All three places are directly connected to Jesus' suffering, which he did for you and I. Aren't you thankful for that? That Jesus was willing to suffer for each one of us? So tonight, in each one of these places, he kind of suffered a different kind of pain. The first one is going to be at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he experienced some emotional pain. So out of Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39, I want to read that. And it says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Notice it said he was sorrowful. He went through an emotional pain in this moment. It says he was sweating the drops of blood. Not only did he know what it was that was about to happen to him on the cross, he also knew that he was about to be betrayed by his own. So you can imagine the heartbreak that he must have been feeling. He knew one of his own was about to betray him. And some of us are some of the ones who had worshipped him when he had done miracles. They had watched him perform miracles and worshipped him. Were some of the same ones who mocked him and spat on him as he was crucified. Can you imagine the heaviness he must have felt as he was in the garden, suffering that emotional pain? But in the same way, it helps us understand that when we are going through any kind of emotional pain, Jesus is there for us. He knows what we've been through. He knows what we're going through because he's been there himself. The second place we're going to talk about is Gabbatha. This is where he experienced the physical pain. John 19, 1 through 3 says, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they slapped him in the face." Now, this is just the beginning of the physical pain all the way to the cross. But as they did this, that scripture said that he was flogged. And I don't want to get real graphic with you because we've all seen The Passion of the Christ or certain videos where it shows what Jesus went through. But I just want to read to you what this meant in this moment in the courtyard where Pilate has him flogged. The Roman flogging consisted of the victim being stripped and stretched against a pillar or bent over a low post with his hands tied. The instrument of torture was a short wooden handle to which several leather strips were attached with bits of iron and bone tied to the strips. The blows were laid on the victim's back by two men, one on each side. And this resulted in the flesh being cut to such an extent that the veins and arteries and sometimes even the inner organs were exposed. Can you imagine? And often the victim died at that point. Jesus somehow made it through that, but he endured that physical pain. Why? For our physical healing. It's by his stripes that we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we're healed." So no matter what kind of physical pain we may be going through, Christ went through all of this for that reason. We would be crazy to know what Christ went through, to understand the pain that he went through, and in our own pain, not turn to him? Knowing what the Bible says that we can be healed, why do we not turn to Jesus when we're hurting? Why do we just try to take that on our own or go straight to the medicine or straight to the doctor? And those are great things. I'm not saying don't use them. But I'm saying many times we forget the power of prayer, the power that Jesus brought us by taking those stripes, by taking the beating that he did. And this reminds me of James, the brother of Jesus. I want you to look at John chapter 19. And I want to look at James in this moment. James 19, verses 25 through 27. I believe we can relate to this a little bit, and it might even explain why we don't always turn to Jesus. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother Mary, his mother's sister Mary, with the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." What an awful moment for Jesus to be looking down. Of course, you've got the three Marys there, and you got to pay attention or you get them confused. You're like, wow, there's a lot of Marys. That was a popular name then. And you got to be careful not to get them confused. But of the 12 disciples, we only see one. Only one is mentioned. So the question is, where are the other 10? And when I say 10, I'm doing my math right, because don't forget Judas, he's not going to be there. So, but there's still 10. And where are they? Where's Jesus' family? Other than the Marys and Martha. Where was Joseph, his earthly father? Excuse me. Many believe he was dead. But what about his older brother, James? His own brother. He would later go on to write the book of James, so we know that he wasn't dead. He wasn't taken away. He was able to be there. But Jesus turns to John at one point and says, "Look after my mother." And you know if James was there, he would have turned to his brother and said, "Will you look after mom?" So obviously, James wasn't there. Yet, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 6, James says this, "When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." This man, who would appear to be doubting at this point who Jesus truly was, or maybe he would have been there, was the man who wrote these words later on. He made a distinction between faith and doubt. Would it be safe to assume that after crucifixion, James is still dealing with doubt? I think so. There are two forces, not only during the crucifixion, but even today and every single day of our life. If there are two forces that would reflect our attitude and our spirit and our heart towards the cross, it would be faith and doubt. Either you believe or you don't. And it's the same with healing. Either you believe or you don't. And my question tonight is, where do you stand? Maybe you believe that Jesus died for you and that he saved you. But when it comes to healing, are there times when you find yourself going, I just keep praying the same prayer. I feel like I'm hitting a wall. I don't even feel like Jesus is hearing me. And we begin to doubt the fact that Jesus went through such a horrible experience for us. And that ability to heal is true and real and there. Can you say amen to that? So when we think of all the disciples, based on what Scripture says, they very much believed in Jesus when he was alive. But when he was dying, the question is, where were they? Based on who was there, you would wonder if their faith was very strong at all in that moment. And everything in this picture would communicate that doubt, discouragement, and fear had taken over. And there was a lot of that going through the hearts and minds of those people. And to take this a step further, at least three times, do you know Jesus actually communicated that this was going to happen to his disciples? He had already told them, I'm going to die, but I will rise again. The very words came out of his mouth, yet they still were not there. So, with that in mind, what situation do you have going through your life that maybe has left you feeling as though your faith in Jesus is dead? Has something happened to you, maybe physically, emotionally, spiritually, that has left you questioning whether God has the ability to heal you or to help you in a situation? After a certain experience, you find your faith is no longer strong or no longer there. You feel as though you're living that moment between death and resurrection, where there was just questions of, why did this take place? I don't understand what took place. Or I don't know what's going to happen next. You know that questions were there between death and resurrection. And I think many times we find ourselves in that moment where maybe not just Jesus died, but the hope in Jesus died along with him. We get the good news. We know what happened. But they didn't know what was going to happen in that moment. And I think a simple way to explain this is rather than looking to the cross, they were looking through the cross. Rather than looking to the cross, they were looking through the cross. Saturday morning, we had an Easter egg hunt at the park. And Connor was too cool for school. He took his bucket, but he would not hunt. But Tessa was all about it. She had her bucket, and she was ready to go when the horn went off. And so we're watching her, and she's running all through, picking up all the eggs. And after the whole line of kids had gone through, there's one lone boy that's coming along the back, picking up all the extras. And people are trying to help him. He's just a little guy. And they're saying, hey, right over there, and right over there. And they're pointing him out to him. And at one point, he had one right in front of him. But he's looking so hard to find him, he's walking right past it. And we're like, no! Then we got like five or six people yelling at him. We're like, it's right there! And then he'd walk this way, and he'd walk right over. And he was walking right past the egg in front of him. And how many times do we look past the cross to all of our situations or the things that are really weighing on our minds, and we're looking past the cross. We're looking through it. We're not looking to the cross. We're not remembering that Jesus died so that we not only can have salvation, but can have healing. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. How many sometimes need spiritual healing in your life? I know I do. Emotional healing. Whatever you're going through, Jesus went through something just for you. Many of us can relate to James, probably. We know he was familiar with Jesus. I mean, he grew up with it. Who knows? He probably shared a room with it. Can you imagine the amount of meals they shared? The competition they had as brothers? Could it be that that familiarity with Jesus was his downfall? And how many of us, we've been around church a long time, and we've heard these same stories. And we've thought about Easter many times. And before long, the familiarity, it just becomes just another story. It just becomes just another video, just another thought about Jesus. And we begin to look through the cross rather than to the cross. We've gotten so comfortable with who we think Jesus is. We've kind of got him in a box where we'll ask him for these things, but we kind of just don't worry about these things. And we've gotten so comfortable with who we think Jesus is that we can't really see him for who God says he is and who God made him. May we be reminded of Ephesians 3:20 that says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power. And look at this. This is my favorite part. That is at work within us. It's not within the world. It's not within everybody else. It's at work within us. That is the power that we have through Jesus Christ who died for each one of us. Don't get so familiar with Jesus that you forget why he bore the stripes for you and for me. Don't let familiarity be your greatest hindrance. He went through a physical pain in order for us to be healed. Number 3, the hill called Golgotha. the spiritual pain that Jesus went through. Matthew 27, 45 says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came all over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And these words mark spiritual suffering of Christ for a lost world. And his cry testifies that he experienced separation from God for our substitute. And in this moment, the sorrow and the grief and the pain are at their worst. Jesus has got to be exhausted at this point and in so much pain. But he dies forsaken that we may never be forsaken. Isn't that awesome? He dies forsaken that we will never be forsaken. Therefore, we are redeemed by the sufferings of Christ. Not only was that a selfless act on his part, the fact that he was willing to go through that, but that God would give the one and only Son that he had to die for us. It was a selfless act on both counts. So when Jesus uttered those final words, "It is finished," it signified the end of his sufferings. But more than that, it was the completion of the work of redemption. From there on, freedom for us was all in belief. It was all in just faith. Just believing that what he did was true, that he was real, and that we can accept him in our hearts so that we can not only be saved, but that we can be healed. Church, we serve an incredible God. Can you say amen? Tonight, this is what I like about Focus Nights. We come to focus on God. And what better time than around Easter to take some time to focus on God. So if you have a need tonight, I'm going to tell you I'm here. I'd love to pray with you. But I want us, each one of us individually, to take some time to truly focus on God. Not only to say thank you for what you have done, but to make sure that you're not looking beyond the cross, thinking about everything else, looking right past Jesus, looking right past what he did for each one of us. And the healing, the salvation, the redemption to relationships, whatever it is that you need, may you take that to God tonight. As we focus on him and as we pray. So let's bow our heads together. Jesus, thank you for what you are willing to endure for each one of us. Lord, there was emotional, physical, and spiritual pain that you went through. And God, I believe that each one of us go through those kinds of things every single day. Many times we try to take it on our own. Many times we turn to other people, to a spouse, to a friend, for help. And Lord, may we turn to you. May we understand the power that comes through Jesus dying on the cross. God, have your way in our hearts. In the next few moments, as we just take some moments to pray, I pray that you would move in us. God, you can speak so loud in the silence. So speak to our hearts tonight. May we walk away fresh, strengthened, encouraged, with our faith built. Lord, that we can share that with others, but that we can go through our days, God, knowing that you're with us every step of the way, and there is nothing greater than you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's take just a few moments. Just thank God for what he's done. Like I said, if you need prayer, please feel free to come up here. I'm going to be up here praying myself, but I invite you to come forward if you need that. Take a moment to just pray for, there's going to be a lot of visitors and guests in here on Sunday. I just want to pray for salvations, that lives would be touched. Many times it's not even that we see that in the service. Obviously we want to. But a lot of people come to the Lord. And I don't find out about it till I see it on a piece of paper that they turned into the offering bucket, saying I'm committing my life to Christ. But I am just praying that we have lost souls saved on Sunday. So can we pray about that for just a few moments? Let's take a few moments to pray for our world and our country, which is in a crazy mess right now. And there's a lot going on. So just begin to pray about that and for protection. You know, I think about my kids and the next generation and what they're up against. So just praying that for peace more than anything. So let's pray about that. Lord, we just thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your presence. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you and to lift you up. And Lord, the difference you make in our lives. Thank you for that. And Lord, may other people see that as we walk throughout our day. Every person we come in contact with, God, may they see your love expressed through our actions and through our words. May you use us, God, to grow your kingdom. Not just grow this church, but to grow your kingdom. To bring people closer to you and to bring them in a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And Jesus, we thank you once again for what you did for each one of us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the times that you healed me in my life and that you will continue to do so, God, and I believe that. And Lord, may we understand the difference between faith and doubt. And may we keep our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.